Welcome to Changing the Conversation. This podcast explores the mix of diversity, culture, and tech innovations in our industry. Join us as we sit down with trailblazers, thought leaders, and innovators who are reshaping the landscape of insurance, bringing you stories that redefine the narrative. We are your guide to the evolving landscape of insurance. This is Changing the Conversation, brought to you by Mackay.
Welcome to Changing the Conversation, formerly the Insurance Brokers Podcast. We are making a change to the direction that we're taking our podcast because I'm seeing so many changes in the insurance industry, and they're all bringing people to the front of their marketing, their conversations, and their sales. So we will be talking to people in the industry that are doing things differently because they've found a sticking point and want to make it change. So welcome to Changing the Conversation. This morning, I am joined by AJ Mistry, who I'm sure many, many people will know. And we are talking about all things networking and employee resource groups. Welcome, AJ. This is very exciting.
Very exciting. And yeah, great setup. And I'm really happy to be on your podcast.
The first studio podcast.
The first studio podcast.
The first of many.
Definitely. Looking forward to them.
So talk to me, AJ. So you do a huge amount of stuff with ICANN, with Gambit. I always see you on LinkedIn, but your LinkedIn profile stands out to me as being something different. Tell me why and tell me the reasoning behind that.
I think a lot of the things that I've seen, because of being part of a family that's come from insurance, I've seen the longevity of the industry, some really interesting things in the industry. I've now got it sort of in my DNA to help the industry. So things that I get involved in are things, you know, like running ICANN, for example, is all about helping the people within the industry to help them find opportunities, to find help them network better, to meet the right people. Because at the end of the day, this is a big people business. And I feel it's one of my missions to help people meet other people. That's one of my big things.
Which I bloody love. And I had a really interesting conversation with Sam White a while ago, talking about the left brain, right brain, and how we need both in the industry, but we've traditionally maybe focused on the more analytical stuff and less on the creative and people stuff. And actually, essentially, we're a very people-orientated, creative industry.
Absolutely.
One of the things that people associate with the insurance industry is networking, which is kind of a club. It always involves beer. It always possibly involves golfing. Like, that's changing. I'm seeing it change. Tell me about your part in that change.
Yeah, I think networking is, you know, it's all encompassing. You know, networking, when you boil down to what it is, it's all about building relationships. And whether that's through stuff after work, whether that's literally in meetings, whether that's phone calls you're having with colleagues internally, you know, there's so many different types of networking. But one thing that's really fundamental is that, yeah, things are changing. People are more accessible than they ever have been because of social media and LinkedIn. There's more networks available than ever to join. So, you know, if you're ever lonely, there's a real quick way to find people. And, you know, there's so many, many good role models in this industry, and it's really good to reach out to them and learn from them. So I think from what you're talking about in terms of networking, yeah, of changing, and I think it's really important that we are opening our eyes, I guess, to what is networking.
So networking is something that comes naturally to some and is like a, oh my God, no thank you, to others. How do we help the, oh my God, no thank you? And does everybody need to do it?
I think a lot of it is just to do with semantics, really, because the word networking essentially is, how do you create a connection with another person? People make friends all the time, you know, people have family conversations all the time. I think when you take it to a work context, people feel, you know, there's a seediness or a dirtiness that comes with the word networking. But actually, it's just about building relationships for, you know, a benefit for yourself or the other person at some point. And if you go in with the mindset of, I want to help other people, or how can I give back, all of a sudden it changes from a seedy way of doing things to actual, yeah, actually I'm helping, and actually therefore I'll get something, you give forwards and you get something back.
One of the first podcasts I ever did was with Kevin Hancock, and he said to me, and I always remember this, and I know you do a lot of this as well, he said, get involved in all the, you know, get involved in the CII, get involved in BIBA, get involved in community groups, because when you are giving, things come around in kind often, and you might not be able to see the link, but it's almost always there.
Absolutely. And it's, again, it's hard to quantify, but look at the people who have done very well in this industry. They've done it because of network. The traditional old boys networks, yes, they are antiquated in their viewpoints now. However, they started for a reason, and there is some good best practice there in terms of people who helped each other are now helping each other later on. And that sort of cycle is very important. And the more people that get on that cycle, the more that people can move forwards.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about, because I see lots of stuff on your LinkedIn about employee resource groups.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about why and where that came from and what you're doing.
So as someone who runs ICAN, which is the Insurance Culture Awareness Network, which is all about helping ethnic minorities with their careers and their development, this all stemmed from working within employee resource groups within firms. Employee resource groups being in-house, company-grown, sort of employee-grown led groups that focus on a specific strand of diversity, naturally. So whether they be gender-specific groups or groups focusing on ethnic minorities or LGBT plus, et cetera. There's a range that exists, you know, young, early career people and the like. What's really important about them is that they're very, very important, great ways of networking with people that agree with your viewpoints. So you don't have to be, you know, in that group to be part of a group, but you can be an ally of that group. And ultimately, by joining these networks, it helps you with your, you know, skill sets, you've grown your network, it gives you the ability to lead projects. There's so many interesting things that come from being part of an employee resource group. So I think it's so important to add this extra layer to your job, because it just makes it more exciting. It makes it more interesting. You're making a difference. But ultimately, I feel a lot of good business gets done through these networks. And actually, why not get involved, really?
I was talking to somebody recently, and I can't remember who or why, but it was, we were talking about the different age group dynamics within the insurance industry.
Yes.
Because they are quite separate.
Yeah.
And I wonder about how much could be benefited from mixing those age groups up.
Yeah.
And learning from each other that way.
So many ways. I mean, the great thing about being part of ICAN is I work with, and me and my team work with so many firms across the industry, and some firms do this amazingly. You know, finding cross-project groups, finding initiatives where you can actually mix people, reverse mentoring schemes. It's all about how do you mix people, and that's how you get the best result. So from our perspective, yeah, of course, it's definitely the way forwards is to sort of mix those groups together. It isn't always as easy as it sounds, though, of course, because clearly there's always going to be conflict. Certain people always think a certain way, and it's down to people like us to change it all, really, and make it sort of more accessible.
How do you deal with those difficult kind of hard edges in a relationship when you are bringing people together? Like what can you give us some examples of things you've seen and what you've done?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, you know, with ICAN, when we started it was very difficult to get off the ground, if I'm honest, because it's not always easy to bring hard topics to people and get everyone to agree straight away. And, you know, even, you know, years later, we 7 years since we're running it, there's still people that don't necessarily, you know, find it comfortable to talk about things like race or feel it's easy to get involved in the groups. But what I find is the more people you get involved, there becomes this, wait, I want to be involved if everyone else is. And actually, the bigger you grow and the more conversations you do, people see it as a bit of, you know, FOMO, essentially. Mm. And I've noticed so many more people getting involved that I would never have expected to. And I think that's a big reason.
Social proofing is one of the most powerful aspects of sales groups,
yes,
belonging.
Yeah.
And you can see that in the kind of society we live in,
yeah,
now, and the changes that are being made.
You've got to learn to be forgiving in this space and, you know, mm-hmm, people understanding. I think a big part of the world we live in the diversity world is all about intention, you know, and we need to be understanding and forgiving and moving forwards. Otherwise, we're not going to change as a society if we're holding on to everything that.
Do you think intention's been lost a little bit in society generally?
I think everyone probably knows it. You know, it's something that people don't really want to talk about too much. But, you know, the likeness of someone growing up in an industry looking to wrong people along their way and really look down on people, you know, sometimes it is about how do you look at it from the other person's perspective, and are they looking for the right intention? And clearly, if there's behaviours that are consistently negative, you can make an assumption. But sometimes, you know, people just say the wrong thing at the wrong time. You've picked someone on a bad day. And it's trying to understand that and move forwards. But that is why the networks are so strong in insurance, because we have to be that central pillar that help everyone, not just, you know, you said it wrong, now you're out of the club.
I love that. Okay, talk to me about the events and the networking events that you guys, because at ICAN you do loads.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what's coming up, what sort of people are coming, what the theme is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So year 7 for us, you know, is all about bringing people together. That is 100% just, you know, our theme as well. We ran 55 events last year alone. So I know that the demand is there from all over the place. You know, we've just launched in Manchester. We just launched in Birmingham. So, you know, outside of London, we've got now regional hubs and the events sell out so quickly. So for us, it's important to create opportunities for people to network and being accessible at different levels. So, you know, we've got events where there are is no alcohol. There's events where there's workshops and training. There's events where actually, if you just want to go out and have a good time and, you know, maybe learn a couple of things, then you can do that too. We just had a fantastic Lunar New Year event. You know, it was 200 people turned up. It was a real thing to watch everyone watching this dragon dance and really taking part in East Asian culture, and it was amazing. So in terms of what we've got coming up, we've got a big International Women's Month coming up, three big events in the three cities that I've just mentioned. And then, yeah, a big set of events coming up this year, which I'm really excited for, including a very exciting employee resource group conference we've got coming up in September, which we're due to announce in a big way soon.
Fabulous. That is so exciting. Tell me a little bit about your conversations with the CEO, because you do those quite often. And yes, I keep going, oh, yes, I'm going to make that one. And then I never have, but I really want to.
Yeah, this was an idea from sort of Kishan and Heather and the team from ICANN. And what they created essentially, which has grown now into a thing we call Coffee with the CEO, which is a series of events where CEOs or people from the C-suites of our main sponsor firms will meet with our members for essentially a good career session. And the members, great, they can submit questions before, they get an hour and a half really intimate with a C-suite member of staff, and they get to access someone they never get to access normally. The C-suite gets to give back, really great PR in general, but really, really powerful events actually. Having that one to 20 mentoring system that works really well.
Yeah, I can imagine. When's your next one coming up?
The next one is with Convex, I believe, and it will be next month. I think it'd be so popular, we're actually doing them once a month now, which is phenomenal. And one of my favorite things that happened recently was we actually had a CEO actually email us through our inbox, through our website, saying, I want to be involved, how do I do it? And when you get that, you know, you feel like you've hit a good spot.
You've won. Like, you've hit that, and you've hit the nail on the head. I find I'm going to talk a little bit about LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that you do and do really well is give back through LinkedIn, yeah, talking about topics that are important to you and giving advice to people that maybe find those topics difficult. How do you keep that alive? How do you keep, and why?
Yeah, LinkedIn's an interesting one. You know, you talk about different communication channels that people have. You know, people have emails, they've got phone, they've got video, they've got WhatsApp. There's tons of ways of speaking. But what's great about LinkedIn specifically is it's a very passive form of communication. So when it comes to things like phone calls and emails, you're being very intentional trying to communicate with someone, and then they've got to be forced to whether they have to reply or not. When it comes to LinkedIn, your goal is getting messages out there. And what's amazing about it is that people use LinkedIn 24 hours a day. And when I mean that, you know, whether it's in the morning, the first thing they wake up, whether it's in the evening before they go to sleep, you know, during their lunch breaks, after work, during work, but you can actually have your message shown all day on blast to everyone. And I think the pickup you get from it is phenomenal, because it basically does networking for you when you're not in the room. And so right now, I know that people are reading our posts somewhere. That's why the view counts go up, and that's why the likes go up. And it's ultimately the next time you see them, you've just given them like another touch point of why it's important. Now, why it's important to talk about important topics is because the communication method I've just said is made for helping people and giving advice. It's better to do that, show your value as an individual and as a concept, as a company. And that's why people will come to you, because they can see the proof points, as you said, social proof.
And actually everything you've just said is the same for podcasting.
Yeah.
And one of the things I noticed when I was unwell a few years ago, and I didn't podcast for, I don't know, maybe even a year, the listens and the downloads and the comments and the people messaging me on my inbox never stopped.
Exactly.
I think we didn't release an episode and still hit another 10,000 downloads. And it's that, it's that passive communication.
You're giving people the choice of how they want to receive information. If they don't want to receive it and they don't want to listen, they want to log on to LinkedIn, that's their choice. And naturally, by putting the power in their hands, it's very empowering for them, because they get to choose. when it comes to direct communication, it's different because then you're forcing someone to make a decision, you know, yeah. Do you want to reply or not? So, no, and I think it's a great way because, you know, people are busier than they have been. People like to, you know, listen to podcasts on tube, for example. You know, you can't sit and do your emails on a tube in the same way. So actually it's, you know, a really good way of actually communicating messages out without having to directly communicate.
So one of the things that I would like you to give people listening,
yeah,
and we are talking specifically about the insurance industry, but this could apply to wider. I would like AJ's top five tips for networking, because I always see your tips online and I always think, and you gave me a great one as we were chatting this morning.
All right.
So. Oh, no, you didn't. I read your LinkedIn this morning and thought that's a good one.
There
see,
go.
Passive marketing
like
at its best.
I like it. No, what's my top five? What would I go with? So not in any order because I haven't planned this. So I definitely start with what is the worst that's going to happen. I think a lot of people have this fear of either approaching people or trying to have a conversation or, you know, just getting involved. But ultimately, what is the worst that's going to happen? The brain is very good at making you forget bad memories. So if you go up to someone and someone doesn't speak to you, it's like, so what? You know, there's always someone else, right? And that leads into my number two. Which is the world is full of abundance, not scarcity. This concept that there's only one conversation to have, one group of people, one contact, one relationship that exists in the business, one client that isn't, you know, there's millions. And, you know, if we're in the world, especially living in London, you know, there's just so many of everything that you could have a different day every week and speak to a completely different set of people. And that, you know, I get it if you're in a remote village where there's 100 people and, you know, then every conversation matters, but this just doesn't. So I think that's really important. The third one I'd go with is if you don't ask, you don't get. It's all very basic stuff I'm saying, but it's so true what you get taught as a kid. If you want something, you've got to put yourself forward. You know, that whole thing of, you know, put your hand up and you'll get asked. If you don't put your hand up, how will anyone know what you ever want if you don't go and ask the questions? I think that's a really important one. Before is probably one of my biggest ones, which is have a plan. Like, know what you want and have a plan. Because if you've got a plan, everything you do, every conversation you have leads to something else. If you have no plan, do you know what? Go and move to Bali and live on a beach and just enjoy that life because it's available. But if you have a plan, then every conversation is important because it would nudge you a bit forwards to achieving that goal that you want to hit. So easy example, you know, I want a new job in a certain company, then you know, then all of a sudden, you know, I know who I need to speak to, why I need to speak to them, and also the kind of things I need to talk about, my LinkedIn profile needs to be, and all of a sudden everything can formulate. But if you have no goal, then just go and enjoy, you know, go enjoy what you want.
Go and enjoy Bali.
And then number five, I'll go with not, okay, I like this phrase, so I'll sort of use this, but you're the product of your systems, not your intentions. So this is a James Clear Atomic Habits phrase. It's like one of my favorites at the moment. Essentially, if you really want to go networking, put something in the diary and do it. Everyone always has good intentions, you know, whether it's about exercise or whether it's about, you know, going and speaking to your manager about the pay review or doing something. And it's like, I'll do it, I promise. But it just, you know, tomorrow never comes. So if you put in a system, like what you physically going to put in place to do. So if you want to go to a networking event, literally put it in the diary and actually find something, put it in. You know, I think the topic you probably mentioned was the whole bring a buddy thing, which I think was a really good idea, but, you know, find a friend to do it, but say something and do it basically. So they're sort of my five.
That last one is my life mantra that for the life of me, I cannot get my children to understand. Telling me you're going to put your shoes on doesn't make it happen. It's now time to leave for the bus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that process sits behind or is much more important than intention. The thing that I am often asked is, how do you talk to people? And often when I'm doing this kind of thing or we're at an event and we're talking to camera, everybody always says to me, oh, God, I'm so happy to be on this side of the camera and not in front of the camera. How can you do it? And my theory is that everybody suffers from some form of imposter syndrome at various stages in their life. And my personal way of doing that is, I don't want to be the expert. I want to be the question asker. Yeah. So ask questions. because people don't remember what you say. They remember how you make them feel.
Absolutely.
So be interested in those people around you. I like your shoes. Where did you get them from? What do you do? How long have you been there?
Absolutely.
What did you have for breakfast this morning? Who does your hair? Yeah. They can be all manner of questions. Yeah. And going back to your point of have a plan and people don't remember every conversation, just talk, ask questions, be interested in the person you're speaking to. And I think
absolutely
that's
and the biggest
build.
Quick tip of how to, you know, start a conversation with someone, just remember everything's in context. So, you know, if you're at a conference, you know, like the MGA conference or the Bieber conference, you're at an event already. Talk about the event. If you're coming to an ICANN event or you're at a multicultural networking event, you know, you've seen a great speaker, talk about the speaker. Like, it's very easy. We just look forward to what's in front of you and talk about that. You know, there's everyone talks about English people being good with British people being very talk about the weather a lot, because we're very much like, you see it, just talk about it. That's what, it's no different in real conversations and networking. It's a great opener, and then the conversation can take you from there, because you got an opinion because you're there.
Yeah, you must have. And actually, Bieber's a great one. Bieber's a great one because you have so many speakers, you have so many different people. Who've you met? How's your Bieber going? Or same with MGAA, how's your MGA going? Or all of the events that happen in the insurance industry, because we are a people business.
Exactly.
And we like to talk to people.
Exactly. And some great stuff going on in the industry. I think one thing that people look at insurance and, you know, there's a lot of people saying negative things in terms of, you know, oh, it's boring and stuffy. And, you know, one of my biggest bugbears, I hate when people say I fall into insurance, because, you know, there's a ton of people wanting to join this industry all the time. You know, we recently ran a big Gen Z career conference, you know, 300 under 25s coming to a big conference. Many of them are just clamoring to get back in, you know, climb up the industry, work it through. They joined because they wanted to, not because they're falling into it. And so I do get that it can happen, but we've got some amazing things in the industry, including the fact that we have the Bieber and Bieber as a concept. We've got ABI, we've got CI. It's quite easy, you know, get your tick list and start going to those events, because they're all pretty much made for you. And you know that all the senior people you want to speak to are already connected to them. So there's a very good way of, this industry's kind of got you a nice roadmap already, I think, if you wanted to join.
Yeah, I actually like what you said about falling into insurance, because I wonder if that's almost a generational thing. And there's a huge push now on recruitment and interest and changing the conversation around insurance and why people join. And I think it's a really interesting thing to look at the different generational.
Well, a lot of it, you know, you've heard of this phrase, self-fulfilling prophecy. The more you say something, the more real it becomes. And I think as older generations like ourselves and others and older, it's up to us to set that good example for new people coming in. So if we talk negatively about the stuffy old insurance thing, it's not positive. You know, one of my phrases I'm big, not a fan of at all, so I actually despise, is this stale, male, pale thing, because it's not, it's like you're self-perpetuating this image that exists. And actually, it's sort of, that is changing. There's a lot of people that don't agree with it, and you're kind of marginalizing another group of people that of allies that we need on side and actually are on side. So I think it is important that labels are something that we are focusing on constantly and not pushing too much.
I love that, because I think if you bring a label, you bring judgment, and it's the judgment that we need to drop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, just assume everybody's a good person and they want to help.
I was speaking at an event recently where the conversation topic was about generations. And one of the big generational labels on Gen Z and the newer generations was Gen Z are lazy. You know, they want everything on a plate, very entitled. And then on the same list, it was baby boomers. They can't learn technology. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they're going to be slow. And these labels get pushed and then ultimately get fed into the workplace. And people, all of a sudden, you say, I'm going to put the 60-year-old guy with the 18-year-old girl, but they'll never get on. But actually, it's just, you know, these labels have made it worse than it really is, because actually, everyone has to jump on board technology. How many people's grandparents are on WhatsApp now? You know, it's not this thing of they can't do it. It's a question of actually, let's look through and help people, you know, not just label and say, nope, they're out. And I feel like the label's something that we as a group need to be constantly trying to focus on.
I think I couldn't agree more. And I think I've got one final question for you, which is, in the 7 years of ICANN and your kind of ancestral legacy in the insurance industry, if that's the wrong phrase, but never mind. What biggest changes have you seen, and what is your mission for the next 5 years?
Oh, that's a big question.
It's actually about three questions.
Biggest changes I've seen. I'd have to say, you know, the move because of online, the accessibility of career paths, opportunities, access to people, access to new ideas. You know, you now can use transferable skills in different ways. So I definitely think there's a change in terms of the ability to try something new now. This is like, you know, back in the day, you were a marine underwriter and, you know, junior marine underwriter, your life path was going to be senior marine underwriter. That was it. But now, you know, you can look at things that are similar. InsurTech and the new tech stuff coming in is amazing. Looking at other industries that need insurance and actually now having accessibility to those jobs. So I think there's a lot happening there. And then on the other side, in terms of what's my mission for the next few years, absolutely driving equality and diversity sort of throughout the industry. Inclusion being the key word there. Of course, pushing people for networking, making sure that people are connected in better ways than ever, and really just driving to make, you know, the industry just a more thriving place by bringing as many people in as possible.
I think that's amazing. And I look forward to podcasting with you again and hearing how the journey's going.
Amazing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to another enlightening episode of Changing the Conversation. If you enjoyed today's insights and want to stay connected with the latest industry trends, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Feel free to reach out to us on social media or through our website to share your thoughts and suggestions, or even to nominate someone whose contribution deserves to be heard. Until next time, this is Sarah Myers-Goth signing off from Changing the Conversation.